Hello, and welcome to Education Radio. This is a podcast of the Alamosa School District, and I am your host, Adriana Chapa. I am a mother, a teacher, and your neighbor. Joining me is Assistant Superintendent Luis Murillo.
Hello, Adri. As always, we have a very special guest. I know you've heard me talk about that a bunch of times.
Excited.
I'm also loving the weather.
I just
checked my phone and it's 54 degrees.
Didn't even wear a sweater coming in.
I'm having a hard time adjusting to my new sleeping pattern. But other than that, I'm really loving this change.
In a few days, we'll be back to normal. It'll be like we never changed time. All right, let's get started with our first segment. Did you know? What new information are we learning today?
Did you know that the Alamosa School District has a Celtic plan?
A Celtic plan? Is that like dancing, Luis?
No, it's not. Celtic stands for Social-Emotional Learning, Trauma-Informed Care. Simply stated, the intent of the plan is to improve whole child wellness systemically throughout our district.
Okay, so this includes a lot of different parts to it, I'm sure.
Yes, it
does.
You
want to tell us a little bit about that?
Of course. The Celtic work is grounded on the social-emotional ecosystem, which is composed of four different categories.
Okay.
First one being the learning environment, with the outcomes that we want being the students have the emotional and physical safety, strategies, and skills to be able to learn. The second layer is systems of support. The outcome that we want to see is students having the support when they're struggling and are supported to develop skills they need to achieve wellness.
Okay.
The next level is student and staff voice and choice. The outcome that we want to see is students having agency and voice in the creation of their learning environment and community. And the last one is all about family and community partnership. And again, the outcome that we want to see is students having consistent supports while at school, at home, and in the community.
And so basically what you're talking about is that we're going to put things in place. The district already has things in place so that if a child is struggling in a traditional learning environment for whatever reason, an emotional issue that's going on that's temporary or an academic issue that's going on that's maybe temporary or permanent or any combination of those, right?
Correct. And what this intends to do, and like you said, this work is... it's been going on since 2019. It's also part of Focus Area 2 on our current strategic plan, but it really just intends to create the conditions for teachers to be successful, for students to learn, and then for parents to be the support that we need them to be.
All right. So let's say I am a mom and my child is too young to really understand and voice their needs. Where would I go as a mom?
Teacher first.
Teacher first.
Then the teacher can then connect the mom with whatever supports they need. Most of the times, the teacher will listen to the mom and say, let me invite the assistant principal or the principal. And then the principal will then bring in the Celtic team, the MTSS team, our counselors, or if we need to tap into outside sources, then we're able to do that.
All right. And I know that we do that often, right?
We do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, we have issues that arise and sometimes it's beyond what we can do at the school, and we need to bring in outside people to help us with that. So what if I am a middle school, a high school student, and I feel like things aren't going right, and who would I reach out to? The teacher first?
Well, what I tell students is whoever you trust. We work hard to have a trusted adult, one per kid, at least one per kid.
I mean,
the more the merrier. But whoever you trust, so that could be an adult, that could be custodian, that could be a principal, that could be anyone.
Right.
And then what we expect our staff is to be able to know what's going on within their school system to be able to connect that kid with whatever resources they
have.
With
the right person. Mm-hmm. Right. All right, parents, now we know. All right. Celtic is in place, has been in place, and it is there to serve our students. All right. Well, now we know. All right, let's move into our second segment, which is getting to know our schools. All right, Luis, who are we meeting today?
Okay, today with us, we have the pleasure of having Carrie Van Rye. She's been an educator for 24 years, and she's been in our district for the past 15 years. I'm sure she wears multiple hats. I know two of the hats she wears. One of them is she's a second grade teacher, and I actually got a chance to be in her classroom about a week ago and observed a wonderful lesson. But she also serves as our CPP coordinator, our Colorado Preschool Programs Coordinator. And today we are here to speak about UPK, Universal Pre-Kindergarten.
Awesome. Welcome. Welcome, Carrie. Thank you for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, guys. Well, as Luis said, I've been in the district for 15 years. I'm native to Alamosa.
Okay.
I've been doing it all for quite a few years. So
sounds like it.
Every grade, you know, kindergarten, all of those things. But the past 6 years in the capacity that I want to talk with you guys about today is the CPP program, which was our preschool program. And in the past year, some may know and some may not know that we are moving to a universal preschool model. And that is going to be quite a few changes as we go forward with Alamosa School District.
All right. So what are these changes that it offers us?
Well, it's offering parents a variety of changes. It does change how we're running through the district. As a district, we have always contracted our preschool slots out from the state. Mm-hmm. And our providers have always been Gingerbread and Children's Garden.
Okay.
And they will continue to be serving the students of Alamosa School District. The only thing that will be a little bit different as we move forward is that the district is kind of stepped out. That's kind of what the role is now, and we're moving back away from that as the UPK rolls out.
Okay.
People will now deal through what we call the LCO, and the LCO is actually the Early Childhood Council of the San Luis Valley. And so all of those slots or all of those positions now will go through them. The way that parents are going to be able to make sure that they can still get preschool for their kids. And what we really want to push out there is that this bill that has been passed with the state allows parents up to 15 hours of free preschool per year. The kids that are the most and the kids that we're looking for are kids that are going to be four the year before they go to kindergarten.
Okay.
In the past, we've had some opportunities to serve some three-year-olds, and that capacity is still going to be there. But we're really looking for four-year-olds.
Okay.
That's really what this is about. And the way parents are going to go about applying for this, we have all that information up on our website, on the Alamosa School District website, and they'll see it. It's nice and big, and it says Colorado Preschool main page. The application is linked to that page.
Okay.
So everyone that is interested in applying for this universal preschool needs to fill out an application. The kind of the changes is that there's also providers. I should say that as well. There's home providers and there's those sites. So when they go into that application, they as a parent can choose where they want their child to go, and then the LCO will place them with that.
Oh, okay.
But they will apply either with Gingerbread or Children's Garden, or there are some home providers on there as well. So they have some options to do that. There's also opportunities for them to receive more than the 15 hours if they qualify by certain means, their income, high risk, those type of things. And that application will go ahead and list all of that for them.
All right.
And the idea behind it is that it'll be one application for all childcare and all preschool as we move through the state. And that parents will have like a one-stop service. If they do apply or if they actually receive other services, they can connect those funds through this application.
Okay.
And the application can be translated to English, Guatemalan, Conjobal, anything that we need in our community. They're able to translate that application so that they can go ahead and fill that out. As we go through, and if you are a parent that has a child who is 3 years old, they actually, if they're on IEP, which is an individual education plan, we will actually have them apply on our provider site, Alamosa School District, for one more year. That funding will come through Alamosa School District. So if you are a parent of a three-year-old that has an IEP, you will go and do the application on Alamosa School District. Otherwise, you will pick one of those other providers.
One of the other ones. Okay.
Okay. And it kind of it'll tell parents if they qualify. There's some risk factors there, but it just really spells it all out. And I think it'll be pretty easy.
Okay.
On there is my contact information with the school district, so they'll see my name, my phone number, and my email that they can easily reach out to me. They can also reach out to the Early Childhood Council, and they will help with that placement or any questions that they come up with.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we are. It's a big switch. In the past, we had a little bit more control as a school district, but now it's going to be the state, I guess, okay. is how right. we should put that.
Okay. So I heard a lot.
Yes. So let's break it down.
I'm going to try to break it down. And then Carrie, slow me down, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure I'm going to make some mistakes.
Okay.
But I heard, UPK came about from a bill mm-hmm. that was passed, which was asking school districts or regions to come together and determine an LCO.
Right.
You talked about the ALCO and the San Luis Valley being the Early Childhood Council.
Correct.
And then the LCO then is going to determine who the providers are.
Well, actually, parents have the option of picking their provider.
Parents have the option yes. of picking their provider.
Yes. And okay. as long as we have room for your child and we can service them in one of those centers or in a private daycare. The problem is that we are very limited with physical space in mm-hmm. Alamosa.
I see that, yeah.
Yes.
So that's kind of an issue. As we go forward, those kind of kinks are going to need to be worked out.
Okay.
But they do have the option of picking where they want their child to go, unless it's a three-year-old with an IEP. Then
yeah.
we will, as the district, we will go ahead and push those out. But it will still be Children's Garden or Gingerbread.
Okay. Is this for all four-year-olds?
All four-year-olds in the whole state of Colorado.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And then all four-year-olds. 15 hours per week.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And then if you are three,
mm-hmm.
there is a slight chance that you might be able to
right.
get your kid. If your kid is three, if there's you a slight chance.
There is a slight chance because ideally we'll use all those slots for four-year-olds. If there happen to be a surplus of those slots or those spaces, physical mm-hmm. space in a classroom, then we'll start looking at three-year-olds. But we'll put our IEP kids will absolutely get a slot if they're right. 3 years old. But then the highest risk three-year-olds will get those next positions.
Okay. All right. So, and we're talking basically 3 hours a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then would that be combined within daycare at that facility?
Well, that's going to be however they work it out with that facility, okay. and that will not be free.
Right.
Yeah. And so unless you have another, unless you're on CCAP or other funds that pay for your child care, you will be responsible for paying that child care.
Okay.
If it's an extended time.
Okay.
Got it. Okay. And then I also heard you say that, and I know this for a fact because I helped. We have all the information on our main page of our district mm-hmm. in English and Spanish for folks to go visit. There is more information regarding the program and who to contact if they have further questions. I have a follow-up question for you. So I have a three and a half-year-old kid,
mm-hmm.
And about a year and a half ago, we decided to get them started in school. And I remember my mom and my mother-in-law had an issue with it. And they, they really were advocates for keeping him at home and then just continue to nurture him and giving him a chance to be a kid and play. And the conversation didn't go very far because I said, we're educators. You're talking to the wrong people. Right. I want him to get started as soon as possible. And just his growth, his speech, the way he interacts, how he moves, how he's able to pick up things, I've seen a night and day difference. I want to hear from the expert. Why is early education so important?
Well, when we really start thinking about early education and we're really thinking about a whole child concept, right? And we're really, really making sure that our kiddos are school ready when we talk about school readiness. But, you know, sometimes we'll see parents and they'll say, well, my kid knows all their letters, or my kid can count, or my kid can do all these things. Well, when we're looking at that whole child concept, we're really looking at that social-emotional piece.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that is big, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is why preschool and early child care, in my opinion, is so, so important. Because kids learn how to be together. They learn how to get along. They learn how to function so they're ready to come to school. You're looking at language, vocabulary, cognitive skills. All of those domains, right, are just so, so important. But I think what you're getting at is that it's so important for kids to get the opportunity to play with other kids. And when we have unconstructed play, where kids are truly playing, kids are learning. And I think sometimes as educators, we want to push kids in to just knowing their letters or knowing how to read or knowing how important all these things are. But in actuality, if they don't have this concept of all of all these other domains and what play brings, that's why early childhood is so important.
But and aren't we finding out, folks, that as our kids grow up and go into the work world, isn't that key also?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That they know how to operate within a system and how to get along and be part of a group.
Right. So when you really look at kids coming in from preschool and going into kinder, if they don't have those social skills and they don't have that school readiness, what I'm talking about with school readiness, that's being able to sit down on the carpet.
Right.
Use the restroom by yourself. Tie your shoes. Dip your jacket. Yes, we want kids to know some letters. We want them to maybe know some sounds and some numbers and their shapes and their colors. But we really want kids to be able to get along and function in that environment when they get there.
Correct. Correct. And it makes them a little more independent, don't you think, looking at your
at
your child. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You talked about domains.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about those? And before you do, something that I learned that I knew is just how much planning it goes into preschool. I've been shown lesson plans, goals. I mean, it's no different from what we do in our K-12 system. And once I started attending the parent-teacher conferences and I was shown his progress and his goals and the plan and the domains, which I don't remember, but I've been shown domains, I just really became more of a bigger advocate for early learning because I see it firsthand through my child what it's doing for him.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, when you really do think about preschool, I appreciate what you're saying, because when you look at state standards, where does it start? In preschool,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So those teachers, they are teachers. And I just want to kind mm-hmm. of put that out there, because sometimes I feel like they don't get the credit that they deserve. They're educators. They've gone to school. They are educators. They are not babysitters.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we really don't respect that field. And we're really seeing it, right? We're really having a hard time keeping a workforce there. But back to the domains, right? They have a curriculum. They're working on that curriculum. They're doing it differently than you might see in a public education. So the domains are, you know, you're going to have cognitive, language, math, social, emotional, and
Motor.
Yeah, your gross and your fine motor. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your fine motor, right? So they're working on all of those skills so that, yeah, you can come to your next step. But actually, when we think about early childhood, that is birth to 8 years old. So that's clear to our second grade friends, right? They should still be getting those experiences. They should still be getting that play and work on their fine motor, their gross motor, and all of those things that we might be lacking. And especially through the pandemic, right? And what we're really seeing is the lack of social emotional skills.
Absolutely, at all ages. Uh-huh. Yes, because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so now we're having to
right. So then now these specs for years. So like the times that I have been in the preschools and the sites, and even in this second grade group that I have, I'm finally seeing that we're kind of closing that gap a little bit.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm seeing it in some groups of students where that pandemic gap is being closed and others that are still struggling.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. And I was going to talk about that because I know I've been at the K2 quite a bit, just visiting and supporting what's going on there. And that is one of the, that's one of the issues that we're seeing, that we have, you know, groups of kids who did not get a chance at preschool.
Right.
Did not get a chance at face-to-face kinder. Mm-hmm. And now their first formal experience is first and second grade, and they might be lacking some of those skills to just function in a classroom or play. And it's leading to some behavior issues that we are addressing, and we're expanding our counseling team and our supports, our MTSS, and we're trying to do it holistically. But now more than ever, you know, I see the need, you know, for my kid and what it's doing, but also systemically, I see what could happen when we don't have those foundational years for kids to really learn how to be a kid and how to function in school.
Yeah, and I just see a lot of, you know, a lot of fear sometimes with kids, and I'm just kind of thinking about some of those experiences as we've worked through this. Mm-hmm. So there, we just really need a lot of support with the social emotional, starting at preschool, right?
Right.
And then moving on up.
Before we move on to our next segment, if I am a parent and I, for some reason, don't know how to go to our website, mm-hmm. But I'm listening to this podcast because someone sent it to me, how can they get more information without having to go to a website?
Without having to, well, they can easily come to the K2 building and, okay, and talk with me.
Okay.
Or they can go to the Early Childhood Council, and there would be a lot of help there as well.
Okay.
But that would be, I'm happy to help. I'm happy to move people through this process because it has changed. So people who have experienced the old CPP program, this is a whole new ball game, right? Mm-hmm. And so I would just encourage, if you know people that are going to need that assistance for helping, you can easily reach out to Gingerbread Children's Garden, the Early Childhood Council, or even to us at the school district.
It's great advice.
Great. Yes. Okay. All right. Parents, if you've got little ones, we've got something new coming up. And so go to that website if you can. And if you can't, then check with the K2 building, mm-hmm. yes, or Gingerbread, and the name of the other?
Children's Garden.
Yes. All right.
Yeah, and then just one more thing, if I could just say one more thing. Mm-hmm. I just want to put out there that we will have a pre-registration for our kindergartners for next year on May 4th, and that will be at the K2 building from 3:30 to 5:30. So we always get those guys pre-registered and ready to go to kindergarten. So if you have a child that's going to be 5 by June 1st and is ready to come to school, that's when you can come hang out with us and see what we do over at the K2 okay. building.
Excellent. Right? And so we'll is this for parents? Is it this for the children as
it's
well?
For the, it's a family.
A
parent,
family.
Excellent. Meet all the staff. Come see all of us, and we'll get you registered for next year.
Perfect. Thank you so much. We have learned a lot about our new pre-K program coming through and ways to access information for it. Anything else we want to leave our listeners with about?
No, just if you have any questions, do not hesitate and reach out.
All right.
All right.
Thank you so much. Thanks for
Appreciate
joining
it.
Us. Well, let's move into our third segment, upcoming events. Well, Louise, Victoria Street is torn up in front of OMS, but we seem to be adapting to that change. And the time change is now a few days old. And like you said earlier, I am loving that daylight at the end of the day. I love it. But the big news, of course, is spring break is coming up.
That's right. We're just a few days from having a week off, a much
yes.
needed week off to take in the sun and the longer days. We will be on spring break from the 20th through the 24th. So all of next week, Monday through
okay.
Friday. Our district office will remain open, but the rest of the schools will be closed for break. And we also just heard about another upcoming event. So just a reminder, May 4th, pre-registration for all kids who will be turning 5 by June. Kindergarten registration at the K2, and that's all I have.
And, you know, just a reminder to parents for, you know, secondary, middle school and high school students, it's the beginning of a new quarter. And so those grades are going to get started. And so every assignment is super important because there's not a lot of grades to average them with, right? And so especially for those kids who are just active, participating in different events, you know, it's time to really keep up with those grades. So that it doesn't affect eligibility. So
correct. Yep.
Just a heads up on that. And report cards should be coming out this week.
Correct. Yeah. On
Friday. And find that time, parents, with your children, with your older kids, and sit down and go through that report card. How did they do? And was there, if it wasn't up to your expectations, what could be done? What can change for this next quarter? Because we've got one more quarter and then we're done for this school year. So be looking for those report cards. Well, that does it for today's episode of Education Radio. Parents and neighbors, thank you for joining us. Education Radio is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on our district page. Remember, parents, that a good education is key to your child's success and provides your child with a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District. Students today, leaders tomorrow.